Good afternoon, everyone. It is time for Campus Connection, a call-in show with school district officials. I'm your host, Angela Denning, and I am joined on this Zoom conference call with Superintendent Erica Klugpainter, and I believe joining us later on might be the school board president, Sarah Holmgren. Hi, Erica.
Hi, Angela, and Sarah is just jumping on now.
Okay, wonderful.
Absolutely.
All right, so the school board has a regular meeting coming up this evening at 6 p.m. It's been a little bit of time since we've had the last meeting because of the holidays. A lot is changing this year. It seems like every few weeks it's completely different. So I'm wondering if you could kind of give us a status update with the school district, kind of go over where we're at now. KFSK just announced that we have 9 active cases in town. We just announced 5 new cases this morning, but it looks like they're all from the same household. So I was wondering what the status is of the school district now and if anything's changed with the latest cases.
So at this point, yes, you're right. It seems like every day is, you know, kind of that we're kind of back on that roller coaster a little bit with cases. I know we talked a little bit about this on Friday during the community conversation. Then, of course, just, you know, even over the weekend, kind of watching the case numbers. And then now it's already only Tuesday, and we've already had kind of, as you said, you know, a couple more yesterday afternoon and then more this morning. I've been in a couple meetings today with EOC and the medical staff about this, public health, talking with Aaron Michael about all of this. And just, you know, I know the community and Carl are looking at the borough status, as well as, you know, we're of course looking at our own status. So we did, as you know, move into a red operating procedure last week. We just went ahead and did that knowing there was quite a bit of uncertainty around what things were looking like after the holiday season, as far as just kind of travel and some of those tests. So we just went ahead and after our in-service days did the 3 remote days, just to kind of get a handle on that. And then felt pretty comfortable looking at a green schedule this week, just trying to get a handle on the connections to school, either students or staff. So just talking with Aaron and everybody today, I think at this point, we feel comfortable with the contact tracing and the quarantine that has taken place within the same household, and feel comfortable with it at this point. So I don't look for anything to change at this point in the school's status. But, you know, things move quickly right now. So that's where we are as of right now, 12:36 on Tuesday. And I guess we'll see where things go from there. So keeping our fingers crossed there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So like you said, all these 5 cases that were announced today, I think it was just this hour, in fact, are all in the same household. So as of right now, school is continuing in person for the 3 schools. What about vaccinations? I think you mentioned this maybe on our Friday COVID show, but can you talk again about what the vaccination situation is for the school district and the state recommendations for staff and students?
So at this point, and then just kind of following up a little bit today with Phil and Aaron about that as well, they know we have a lot of very interested staff members. We are helping them kind of coordinate just with the use of the gym and such this week. On Thursday, you know, there'll be the vaccination clinic for 65 and older in the community gym. So we've been kind of working with them on that. And then moving quickly down that list, you know, school staff do come up soon after. I think I don't have all the exact terminology for every single tier, but we're coming up, the education staff is, and there were some questions about, you know, is it 50 and up, you know, first, and then how, which staff, and, you know, all of that. So we're still working through that at this point, but we're coming up soon. So really then it just comes down to availability and how much their supply, how much supply they end up with, you know, from the state. I know it sounded like even from your newscast, maybe it was this morning or someone from the state just talking about that, you know, places are asking for more, but there's a lot of places have already kind of received their allocation for the month. So those will be good questions, I think, for all of us to ask the medical crew on Friday. about where that status is. They know we want to be on that list. So at this point, just talking with Phil, he did say, I think for kids, it's over 16, but they would probably be way further down the list in that. And of course, we don't really have a plan or a protocol for that yet. Even looking at students in general, that would be, a parent decision at this point, I think. And then, of course, under 16, I don't believe there's any plan for that, just, kind of on the medical front. So we are, do we did the medical center came up and offered testing to interested staff here at the school Friday, this last Friday morning, and we're planning to go ahead and do that. I think every other week, that's the protocol they follow at the hospital, and we're just going to go ahead and do that. So that worked pretty slick. They came up, we had people sign up, and they, we just did it right out front the high school, and they were in and out in, 45 minutes. So it went pretty well, and we sure appreciate that opportunity. We had a lot of staff members that were interested in doing it. So just peace of mind and keeping a handle on things. If we have information, it's helpful. So
Okay, so and I'm guessing that even if, even if some staff are do the vaccine or even students at some point, but I'm guessing that the protocols like masking will stay in place for quite some time.
that's my understanding. Just, again, just kind of participating in those conversations. Like Dr. Olson was on last Friday. I'm in often in Zoom meetings where she is there, or Dr. Zink and others, even from our local medical staff. And yeah, at this point, I don't know that those protocols, certainly I don't see anything really changing this year for sure. So I guess I can't really speak too far for how that would go, but at this point, there's not really, there isn't really a vaccination that's been cleared for people under 16. So I do foresee a lot of the protocols staying the same.
Okay. All right. Well, there is a school board meeting tonight. It's going to be, over Ring Central. If we could go over some of the agenda items. It looks like local teachers association wants to open up negotiations this month. And do you know what direction that might take?
I don't at this point. I think so this is every 3 years, just kind of part of the usual rotation, and this is the year that the negotiated agreement is up. And so this is kind of the general process for it. We have a good working relationship with both of our unions actually, but this is the year for the teachers. And so we're both just kind of getting a handle, I think, on some feedback, maybe some ideas or things that people might want to look like. I think sometimes we all automatically assume it's sort of always about salaries and that sort of thing, but sometimes it's about other things too. It could be about leave. Sometimes people want to talk about maybe looking at some things within health insurance, or just kind of working condition things. I don't look for there to be a lot of huge changes or anything like that at this point, so we'll see where that goes. And of course, so many unknowns, just moving forward into next year as far as what funding will look like, related to even CARES Act funding, or just we're just kind of entering the state legislative season here in Alaska. So there's a lot of conversation about what things might look like there. The Reads Act is coming back up again. We kind of, when the world fell apart last winter, last spring, that all kind of stopped, those conversations about preschool and Reads Act and all those things. But it certainly is coming back up again. So, starting to think about those things, starting to look at, calendars and schedules for next year. And of course, some of this is COVID related. Do we have to look at class sizes still and pods and so just a lot to consider. I don't look for things to be contentious, though. We have a really good working relationship, but just trying to anticipate what those things are, even 3 or 4 months out has been challenging. And certainly thinking 6 to 12 or 2 years is sort of mind-boggling right now.
Yeah. How long do those negotiations, you mentioned it happens every 3 years, so how long does it usually take?
It depends. I mean, like I said, it generally, we schedule, I don't know, I feel like it's, 2 to 4 sort of meetings. And sometimes they're, they're in the afternoon, evening, they're outside of school hours. And so, you know, sometimes we have, you know, we bring dinner for each other and do those sorts of things and, you know, just work through issues together. Sometimes, you know, teachers might bring a topic to discuss or some language they want to propose. And then we'll, you know, kind of chew on that and discuss it and then come back and, you know, just that whole process. But it seems, it doesn't seem to go on, you know, for weeks or anything like that. We usually are able to, you know, kind of work through the process usually, I mean, or months or anything. It's usually, it seems like we're able to kind of finish things up in a couple of weeks. So I'm looking toward that end of January and, you know, into the beginning of February, probably.
Okay. Also tonight, the school board will be hearing some budget revisions, which is a normal thing that happens every year. So these would be some revisions for this fiscal year. And anything of note there?
Not really. I mean, it's amazing to think, actually, Karen and I were just talking. She, of course, our amazing Karen Morrison, who is also listed on this agenda to be recognized publicly, although we tried to get that word out there about her well-deserved award from ALASBO, the finance director of the year. She certainly has earned that. But we were working through all of the details around this. And, you know, there's been so much. So it's been crazy. I mean, just the staffing in general and, you know, adding different teachers at the beginning of the year and class sizes and pods and moving people around and what could happen. Anyway, it's really amazing how we were able to really capitalize on that, on the CARES funding we received. And of course, just the additional requests we made from the borough and that we were able to put to really good use toward these temporary teachers that we hired this year. And we just did a really good job, I would say, of just, you know, maximizing that money while we had it in the fall and then being able to balance things out, you know, not hiring a swim position until now. You know, we're proposing to hire Samantha Marifern for that position, for example. So, you know, so some things that decreased, but, you know, while there were increases, of course, in maintenance and technology, you know, those sorts of areas. So it's been an interesting year, you know, decreases in activities, of course, because there's no travel, or very little travel, you know, so far. And we don't know exactly what it will look like, but it's certainly going to be modified and reduced moving forward. So it's kind of an interesting, really unique balancing act this year. But we're coming out in a pretty, pretty good place, you know, overall. And we were able to carry forward over the 10% last year. We're hoping that the state will allow us to do that again so that we can soften this a bit over the next couple of years, because, you know, we are down in enrollment. We don't know what that will look like exactly next year. You know, some families made decisions this year that were best for them, and whether that meant homeschooling or doing some different things. And, you know, as we've said all along, we certainly don't judge anybody on those decisions. So we'll see where our enrollment comes in, but we're hoping to be able to, you know, do as many prepaids as we can. And then really looking at staffing, my guess is that's where that will go moving forward, and probably still in the maintenance area. You know, we're going to be doing extra cleaning for a while, I think. Still needing, you know, some of those kinds of things and refilling hand sanitizer and all that, you know, but yeah, feeling pretty good about it. So overall.
Now, you mentioned that, you know, the budget process of the school district is led by Karen Morrison, the finance director, and she did get a statewide award for being finance director of the year. I know you've been at the school district for some time now, and as has she. So, you know, what can you tell us about working with her?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, she was the president of their organization this year and has worked in the leadership there, has kind of just moved through. She's a mover and a shaker in the state, and she'll be embarrassed that we're talking about this, but it's just the way it is. She really is very, very highly respected around the state. I mean, in her position, you know, as a finance director in our district and the work that she's done here, but also in the work that she's done around the state and even on a national level. She's participated in various ways in a leadership capacity around just in the U.S. in general, you know. So very well respected, has, you know, really does see things very clearly, really looks at, you know, the long-term picture, has done a really good job of decentralizing budgets. I mean, she sets a goal and really just sticks with that, wants to see it through, very detail oriented. And, you know, we are in very, very sound financial, situation. And even moving through, like I said, all this craziness, last spring and this year, and she just kind of keeps her eye on the ball, just keeps us moving forward. And we're just super, super fortunate to have her. So I was really proud that she was recognized at that state level. It's a big deal. So we're really, really proud of her. Well-deserved.
I think we have a school board president, Sarah Holmgren, joining us by telephone. Hi, Sarah, can you hear us?
Hi, yes. I was I don't know what technical difficulties, but I couldn't quite get into Zoom for some reason. But yeah,
well,
and I just have to echo what Erica just had to say. You there?
Yes, we're here. There was just some feedback, but go ahead.
Oh, no, I just wanted to echo what Erica had already said about Karen. We're so thankful to have her, and she's really kept our ship moving forward.
Erica, you kind of touched on a few things earlier. You mentioned swim class starting this week, and I was kind of there. It seems like tonight at the school board meeting, the principals and administrators, there's going to be a lot of updates from leadership. And at the grade school, school swim classes are starting this week, and then also some PE classes. And that'll be by the end of the month, I believe.
Yes. So as I mentioned at the beginning, we've actually had that swim position has been posted at various times since last winter when we knew that Mr. V was going to be moving on from our district. And so it's been challenging. We have not had a lot of really qualified people that have applied or been interested. And then, of course, then this fall, we weren't sure what it would look like. So we thought, well, we'll just kind of put that on hold for a bit. And then we were a little more hopeful. And then there was the fire at the pool. And, so it's just been kind of, as we say, 2020. So this all just really worked out. It just happened to be that Samantha was available. She had been doing a long-term sub position in Sitka, and she was considering moving back here for a bit and wasn't sure what her next step would be. She has a swim background and a PE degree. And of course, really understands just, Petersburg and kind of that whole cold water safety, AMSI component of our program too. And so she was just perfect, and she was interested and available, and she went through the interview process, and we're super excited. So she started last week with planning, but this week with kids and just going through the prep work and getting them all set with rules and everything. And then they should be getting into the pool soon. So we're excited.
Okay. And then the PE will be different. I mean, from what I understand, the students have been doing PE, but it's been more with their classroom teachers. And then by the end of the month, it will be actually a PE teacher.
Yes, they've been doing PE. We've been with their classroom teacher. We've had a schedule within the community gym and some outside as well, different days of the week. They don't get to have it every day of the week this year. That's the same for swim. It partially has to do with just scheduling in general, but also the number of classes themselves and not wanting to short the classes. It's pretty hard to do a swim class in 20 minutes. So just purely having 17 classes was challenging. So they will have a couple of periods every week rather than 4 days. They'll have two. But everybody's really excited about it. And then it worked out. Miss Evans has been a teacher in our district for many years and at the secondary level, and she also has a PE background and PE training and degree. And so she had some kind of some flexibility in her schedule because we didn't end up, she was scheduled to sort of support distance learning with students, and we didn't end up with a lot of students that were actually doing that. Either they're sort of enrolled with us or they, decided to sort of do a homeschool program. So she had flexibility in her schedule, and then Mr. Engel picked up one of her classes, is planning to for second semester. So it just worked, and she actually brought the idea forward and had brainstormed about it a bit, like thinking I could make this work. And so we talked about it right before Christmas and worked through some details. And so, second semester, after the end of next week, she'll be coming in to do some PE with the elementary kids. So we're excited about that.
And sticking with the elementary school, there's touchless bathrooms now. That seems like a new maintenance project that happened.
Yes, some CARES Act funding, some COVID money this fall. We had that's been on the list of things to do anyway, because, you know, even in non-COVID years, it's nice for little kids not to have their hands all over everything. Really district-wide, it's the goal. But so those have been newly installed. We're really happy to report that. And yeah, that's been something that's happened just kind of over the fall, really looking at the entire district. So that's great in a non-COVID year.
And then, Sarah, do you want to add anything?
Oh, well, I was just chuckling because it's so true. No, we're excited that it finally came in or was able to come in. I know that they were having trouble even getting some of the equipment earlier in the year when the planning had started, just because everybody's ordering it for a lot of schools. So, yeah, it's nice that it's there, and I think it'll be a long-term benefit.
And then kind of looking at one other maintenance thing to touch on that I noticed. I know it's been talked about for a long time, but updating the backboards in basketball rims for the outside court.
Yes, that has definitely been on a list. I think, my goodness, I feel like it's even been talked about when I was principal at the elementary. Just, you know, it's a challenge because it's a school, facility and property. But of course, it's a community. It's used by lots of people, you know, and so they take a lot of abuse, especially that the covered area on the end that's kind of closest to the Parks and Rec. Just gets a lot of use, which is good, but sometimes it gets some pretty rough use. So the rims get a lot of damage. A lot of people kind of, you know, sometimes older people go play, or even our younger ones, and they hang on the rims and they bend things and they rip off the nets and all that stuff. But so it's been researched for a while, just trying to find some good, maybe a little different quality of the backboards and such. And then also just to kind of remind everybody, we do have cameras out there now. So just not that we want to be watching what everybody's doing, but it's just important to remember that is vandalism when people damage stuff. So then, and then our kids don't have them. So just, you know, not trying to be too weird about it, but it does, you know, it's a bummer. The kids will have it all ready to go, and then, you know, the nets are ripped off or whatever. So just keeping that in mind, we want it to be a place where everybody can use it and play. So we're excited about that. Kids were pretty pumped.
And then looking at the high school, there's going to be an update also from secondary principal Rick Dormer. And it looks like the high school students, I'm not sure if the survey was both middle and high or if it was just high school students, but they took another survey in December. They took one back in October and then another one in December, kind of trying to keep tabs on how they're doing this year because it's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did do a survey that was, you know, nearly identical to the one they did in October, just to get a sense of that kind of how is it going, you know, now that we're sort of getting closer to the end of the second semester, and just, you know, watching and then also having the kids have the opportunity to be, you know, in person for really with only, you know, at the high school, what, a day and a half disruption somewhere in there. So, you know, they felt pretty fortunate, of course, to be in person that whole time. And we really do for everybody all the way through this. It was interesting data. I mean, I think, you know, there's still challenges. I mean, there just are, you know, condensing classes, from a year to a semester does have some inherent challenges, but I think there's been some things that, you know, just even from the survey itself that kids have found, they do like having four classes versus six or seven in a week. I think there's some downsides. There's some, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to do. It keeps them certainly hopping, but interesting survey data. So, and it was just high school that did that survey, because the middle school schedule, wasn't really changed that way. They did more pods and the teachers moved around to them. So their schedule actually remained fairly similar to past years.
Okay. Yeah, I did notice that myself as well, that the majority of students mentioned in both surveys in October and December that they preferred having the four classes, like what's happening this year versus past years of seven classes. And I was wondering if most students seem to like it, is there a chance that might stick around?
I'm not sure. I'll have to let Mr. Dormer address that some too. I know they've talked, you know, as a staff as well. I think it's challenging because there's things, of course, that have been adjusted, I think, that have been advantageous. And then I think there's things that have happened that teachers have also found like, oh, I wasn't able to get to that because we, you know, some things sort of don't lend themselves as well to, you know, to being kind of in those condensed times. So even thinking about things like, I don't even know, I'm trying to use an example, maybe, you know, plays and that sort of thing, you know, things that kind of do take a little more time, or things within some of the English classes or maybe the history classes where they would do some of those types of things, you know, when they're studying Shakespeare, that kind of thing. So I think there's some things that probably have been adjusted that maybe people don't love, you know, that maybe they've lost, but I think there's some things that have, you know, come out on the other side where people have, you know, in some classes, they feel like that time has been, has really lent itself to, you know, kind of diving in and maybe not feeling like you have to, you know, just get started with something and then move, you know, move on to another class. So I know they're starting that work on the schedule. I think they're meeting again, or meeting this week actually, to dive back into it and taking that feedback from students and teachers to see where they might go for next year.
Sarah, do you have any thoughts on the survey?
The very beginning of it, I thought it was interesting to see, because the class, you know, how, what block versus seven was, you know, quite a discussion at the beginning of the school year. And then so it's been kind of interesting to see what kids thought in October versus now in December, even just a 2-month spread. But the first question is what struck me is the, for those that are listening, what type of counseling supports would be most helpful to you as a student? And I thought it was interesting that social and emotional counseling and anxiety support went down in December versus what they perceived a need for in themselves in October. And I wonder if it has to do with, in October, we were coming off the heels of them not being with their peers since March and kind of settling back into school and kind of having some level of normalcy, for lack of a better word, of going to school on a daily basis and being with their peers again, and that the career planning shot up from 58% to 70%. So that now they're switching. You know, at the beginning of the year, they were still maybe struggling with some mental health concerns or anxieties over just what's going on in the world, what's going on in the community, and just getting back into school. And then now we see by December, it seems like the students have kind of settled in to a certain degree, and their support desires have changed, or their support needs have changed majority-wise. I mean, there wasn't a huge significant difference in a lot of them, but I just thought it was kind of fascinating to see that. And good, I judged it as more of a positive than anything, is that they're feeling less maybe anxious and less stressed, and more like, okay, what am I doing next year? Or what am I doing, you know, how am I planning out the rest of my high school career? That kind of thing. So I just thought that first question was pretty interesting to pick apart.
Yeah, I noticed that too. And I was wondering if it was, like you say, kind of some more uncertainty at the start of the school year. And now students are kind of going with the flow and getting used to what they're doing at school and in their lives. And it'll be interesting to hear Principal Rick Dormer talk about those results tonight at the meeting. Mm-hmm. Also, I just real quick before we go, I wanted to let listeners know that the school board will be going over the sex ed curriculum, which you have to do by state law every year. So approving, you know, who the instructors will be as well as the curriculum. And then also, I wanted to ask you about that cultural responsive teaching grant. It looks like it's going to be starting up here for Petersburg and some other communities in Southeast, and that's with the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. And part of that is going to be a survey coming up for third through 12th graders. Can one of you kind of give us a little idea of what this is going to mean for Petersburg?
I could talk a little bit about that. I did mention that a little bit during the December meeting, and now we are into it. We did have a 2.5-hour training, on Monday during in-service that was designed for all teachers. And so that was our first kind of jump into that. Well, that's not true. Rick, Heather, and I have had a little bit of training already prior to that with with CERC and with the trainers that are working with the grant prior to Christmas, but that was the first training for all staff. And then there is additional training for teachers throughout, a couple more trainings this year related to that, culturally responsive instruction and teaching practices, looking at equity in the classroom, helping, you know, just really looking at how, what background and framework that we all bring to instruction and learning. So it was a great training. And then we have a leadership team that is going to be diving in and doing a pretty extensive amount of training, once a month, 6 hours a month for the both principals, myself, and three teacher leaders in the district. And it's a train the trainer model where we're focusing on, actually I just got the book yesterday that we're using. It's called Cultural Proficiency, a manual for school leaders. And so we're using that and doing a 6 hour a month training all the way through June with that. And so we have a teacher in each building that's participating, and then we'll be able to do kind of that, our own training and work with staff moving forward. And then there's also a partnership with PIA and a representative from PIA, which I believe is actually going to be Miss Heather Kahn as a member of PIA and the school district. So that was kind of an interesting interesting development, and she'll be great to help look at policies and such too. So we're excited about it. It was great training last week, so we're really looking forward to it.
And Sarah, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Oh, not really. I guess it's just, it's nice that we're still being able to do that despite, you know, are getting through this school year. So yeah, not much to add. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. And just in general, anything we should let the public know before we go here?
I don't think so. I think we are, I'm seeking a little bit of some feedback and maybe some direction from the board tonight. I'm thinking about next year's, you know, calendar. There was some talk about that in December, but looking at, looking at next year, just thinking about, you know, there was some talk about spring break and some different ideas there, some things that have actually come out even during this crazy COVID life that we've been living that have been like, oh no, we really like that. That worked well. So just trying to think about looking at things that have worked well and things that we might, you know, want to look at modifying. So just getting a little bit of feedback, nothing absolutely specific tonight, but just looking for some feedback there.
Okay, and Sarah?
That's probably about it. Yeah, I don't have anything to add. You know, we might get a little creative with the calendar next fall if, like Erica said, if there's some things that have come out of it this year that have been beneficial, surprisingly beneficial that we none of us anticipated. But yeah, no, I'd encourage people to listen as usual and feel free to call in if they want to at the beginning of the meeting to give us any sort of feedback or just encourage them to listen on the radio.
Okay, well, thank you both for your time today for Campus Connection. Again, here's the nuts and bolts of the meeting tonight. It's a regular school board meeting, which will start at 6 p.m. over Ring Central video conferencing. And to listen to the meeting, you can stream it on kfsk.org. And the public, like you said, can participate in the meeting during comments from the audience. Now, you can email the district office to get the password for the video conference. And that email address is exec@pcsd.us, or you can call the district office at 877-526-7656 to get the information. KFSK also has some of that information in the news story on our website, kfsk.org. Thanks so much, and we will be hearing from you again tonight.
Thanks, Angela.
Thanks, Angela.